We continue our learning the Nishmas David and Menachem and Chaim Yaakov and Vinichus Eliyahu. We're Menachos Perek Yud Mishnah David. Kitsa Ruhu Unisanuhu Bakupos. We continue our discussion of the Omer. So this is part of the process of the ceremony. What they did on the night after the first day of Pesach, they harvested the barley, placed it in baskets, Heviu Lazar, and brought it up to the Beis Hamikdash. Hayu Mahavavim Oso Bo'ur Kedei Lekayim Bo Mitzvas Kali Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says that they would toast the grains in the fire. And directly in the fire, this is based on the pasuk in Vayikra Beis. It says Aviv Kolui Ba'esh. So when it's ripe, we're supposed to take the what's known as the Minchas Bikurim. The Omer was known as the Minchas Bikurim because it was the first of the Menachos that was brought. So it had to be Kolui Ba'esh. Kolui Ba'esh means it's toasted in the fire, and he felt it had to be toasted directly in the fire. So that's what they did according to Rabbi Meir. But the Chachamim disagree. Chachamim Omim. The Chachamim say, no, first what they would do is they would beat it with reeds and stalks so it shouldn't be crushed. What does this mean? So the Bar Tanur explains like this. First they would beat the stalks. They would not roast them in the fire first. And they did this first, which apparently is different than what they normally do. Not the way they would normally, when you have dry grain, you can beat it with a stick. They wouldn't use sticks. Here they would use a reed or a stalk, which was softer. These kanim were moist. Like a stalk of cabbage, so that the grain, the barley grain, would not be crushed. According to the Chachamim, it's only after they would beat it like this and beat it softly so that the grain would not be crushed at all. So then they would toast it. Unlike Rabbi Meir says, you had to toast it right away and you didn't put it in a kli. Here, the Chachamim say, Nisanu la'abuf. They would then place, after they would beat the grain, they would put it into an abuf, which is a pipe. Va'abuf aya menukav kedei she'yeh ha'or sholei pekulo. Of course, it had to be perforated. So when you put it, you toasted it. So there, at least there would be, the fire would literally rule sholeit over the entire area, all of the grain. But it's okay to put it in a kli. So that's the Chachamim's opinion. Explains the Bar Tanur, Disfilu Hula Rabbanan, they hold you by Oso Bu'ur Mamish, Ainik Krokoli. This is not just a heter. No, you don't have to toast it directly over the fire, but you're allowed to put it in a kli. On the contrary, what the Torah is telling us that it has to be Ba'esh, it has to be a Kalui Ba'esh, it means that it actually is placed in a kli. She'ainik Krokoli, Elo Al Yede Davar Acher, Dahaino Al Yede Kli. We don't call it kli with a kuf unless you have a kli with a cuff. So you put it in a pipe, which is a copper, it's a copper pipe, and there were perforations there. And this is what this is what people normally would sell toasted grain, what they would use. So this had perforations, and this way the fire got through the whole thing, and this is how we fulfill the mitzvah of Kali. Then it says they would spread it out in the Azara of the Beis HaMikdash, and the wind would blow. Why do I need the wind to blow? Because we want it to dry. We want to get rid of all the moisture. So then we spread it out, and the wind blows, and it gets dry. Then istanu bereichaim shel goroso, so tziyumi menu isara. Then they placed it in a reichaim that's usually used for beans, gorosos. Why am I using that particular mill? So Bar Tanur says she'ain tochanos dak ela ava. It doesn't grind that well. You get thick pieces. Shem tetchenu yafeh. We're afraid if you grind it too well now, we will sift it soon. But to grind it now, yavru hasubin. We're afraid that the waste shel klipa, the husks will go binafay masos, will end up falling down into the soles when you sift. So we don't want that. We don't want them to be there. We want the husk or the shell to be, it's large enough that it doesn't go through the sieve with the flour. So this way they will stay up and nothing else will go through. So that's why, and that's in fact what the pasuk means when it says geres karmel. Geres karmel means that it's coarsely ground ears of grain. So that fulfills that pasuk. And then after you got an isaron out of that rechaim of garosos, that mill, the grist mill, the mill that doesn't grind it so finely, then shumenupa mishlosha streinafa. So then, what do? So then you got an isaron out of it. They sifted the flour through 13 sieves, which mentioned already before. So we had the amount of which we got an isaron out of after you did 13. That's where we got the isaron. But simian isaron is something that we got after shumenupa mishlosha streinafa. Then mashar nifte v'nechal lechol adam. We have a problem now because since we started out with so much, and now we only end up with an Isaron. So what do we do with the rest of it? Is it not Hekdesh? So it says the Mishnah, yeah, it's okay, it's Hekdesh, you redeem it. And then once you redeem it onto coins, the coins become Hekdesh, and the rest of the leftover barley can be used for anybody. Then Mishnah says, V'chayv b'chala u'patr min ha'maestros. See, it says this interesting, that on the one hand, you have to separate challah. Barley is one of the five grains, so you have to separate challah. But you're pater from maaser. What's the difference? So generally speaking, if something is hekdesh, it's pater from truma, and challah is just an example of truma, pater from maaser. So why should there be chiyuv of challah? So the answer is because the chiyuv of challah only takes effect when you're doing when you have the dough. This is what we call Gilgal Ha'isa, the making of the dough. So when you need the dough, that's when the Chiyuv of Challah sets in. So here we're speaking about the leftover barley. So leftover barley may have been Hekdesh, and that's true, but once I redeem it, now when I make bread out of it and I make dough out of it, so now it's no longer in a Hekdesh state, so therefore there is a Chiyuv of Challah. But why is it Patur min ha'maasros? It's true, the rest of the grain now is chulin, and therefore we would, if it's chulin, so it's not Hekdesh, we should separate maaser. No, but that's not true, because maaser, the chiyuv of maaser, and truma happens to be also, is at the time, we learn Seder Zroim, at the time of Meruach HaKri, that's when there was a smoothing out process of the pile of grain. That Meruach already took place. That Meruach took place when it was Hekdesh, all the way at the beginning. So the fact that now I redeemed it and becomes chulin, the chiyuv of masros is no longer. So therefore, there is no chiyuv to separate masros, but a chiyuv of challah. That is the Tanakhama's opinion. Rabbi Akiva mechayev b'challah v'masros. He believes that it's chayev in both challah and masros. Why? Because Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that when at the very beginning, what happened? How did Hekdesh get this grain anyway? So you went to someone who had a field of barley, and the Hekdesh, the Gizbar, the treasurer, bought it, and he gave money. So Rabbi Akiva believes that time of that transaction, the assumption is that whatever the grain did not become, is not going to be used as Hekdesh, is not going to be part of that Isaron, that remainder is not going to be Hekdesh at all. Retroactively, we can say that was not used. So therefore, according to him, they at the time of Meruach, even all the way back in the beginning when the grain was piled up and smoothed out, they did not have the status of Hekdesh, and therefore the Chiyuv of Maasros applies. Then the Mishnah says, Balo lo Isaron, v'nasan shamna ulevon aso. So now it's the morning of the 16th of Nisan when we have to actually bring the Omer. So the person came to the Isaron, could be a Kohen, but does not have to be a Kohen. The Kmitza is done by a Kohen, but this does not have to be done by a Kohen. He comes to the Isaron and Venasan Shamro Levanaso and put the oil and frankincense that has to be placed on, when it comes to a mincha, where did he put the oil in the vona? He put it in the kli before he added the flour. Yatzaku balal, and then he poured and he mixed. After he added the flour, then he put more oil on top, mixed the whole thing together. And if you may remember, there was an extra amount of oil that was placed on top, poured on top, after it was mixed. And that's what we call the yitzika. So although it says here, yatzaku balal, and we had this in the past as well, really the belila, the mixing, took place before the yatzak, before the extra oil that was poured afterwards on top. So after he did the Yitzika and the Belila, the Belila and the Yitzika, Heinefi Higish, so then the Minchas Omer has to be waved, which we know. Higish has to be brought close to the Mizbeach, that's Hagasha. V'kamatz v'hiktir, so this is something obviously a Kohen has to do, the Kemitza, and places the Kemitza of this barley flour offering on the Mizbeach to burn. V'ashor ne'elech ha'kohanim, and the rest of it can be eaten by the Kohanim. Perek Yud Mishnei, Misha Karva Omer, Yotzin Umotzin Shuk Yushalayim Sh'umalei Kemach V'Koli, Shelober Tzon Chachamim Devi Rabbi Meir. So it says here that when after the Omer was brought on the 16th of Nisan, if you went out to the marketplace in Yerushalayim, you'll notice that there was a toasted grain, there was a flour that was available from that the people were already selling. And it says in the Mishnah, in the name of Rabbi Meir, that was not Baratzon Chachamim. Why was that the Ratzon Chachamim? After all, isn't there an issue to arise to harvest new grain before the Omer is brought? So the answer is there are certain places where we don't have to wait for the Omer. That prohibition doesn't apply. Or let's say you're just plucking a little bit of the of grain. That's also okay before the Omer is brought. So the fact that they found the shuk full of kemach and kali, maybe it should not trouble us on a d'oraisa level, but on a d'rabbanan level, it does trouble us. Why? Why was that shelo baratzon chachamim? Because people may end up eating, and certainly eating before the Omer is brought is certainly not allowed. To assume that after the Omer is brought, all of a sudden, the whole shuk is filled with toasted grain and flour, shows that obviously they did this before the Omer was brought, which may not be problematic depending on what they did and how they did it. But nonetheless, if people are going to eat from it, that is certainly going to be a problem. That's Rabbi Meir's opinion. Says Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Baratzon Chachamim Ayos. Now, this was done with the Ratzon Chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda is not afraid that, says the Baratunur, Delo Gazru Shema Yochal Kashakotzer. We're not afraid you may end up eating it. Okay, you prepare it in advance. We prepare food before Yom Kippur is over. Doesn't mean that you're going to eat it. So, says Rabbi Yehuda, that was Baratzon Chachamim, that was acceptable. Misha Karava Omer Hutar Chodesh Biyat. After the Omer was brought, so now the new grain, when we were able to bring an Omer, so the new grain became permitted immediately. What if people who were far away from Yerushalayim and wouldn't know when the Omer barley offering was brought? So mutar mechatzos hayom ulahalon. We say for them it's mutar from chatzos and on, because they can assume that the Omer had been brought sometime in the morning, and by chatzos it was definitely brought. They can rely on that. Mishachar beis hamikdash. Hiskin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai sheyom haneif kula asur. So this is a famous takana Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. We have it in other masechtos as well. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made a takana that when after the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, the entire day yom haneif of the waving of the omer is going to be asur to eat from the new grain. Now why should that be prohibited? Well, you could say because we don't have an omer. So in fact, that's Rabbi Yehuda's argument. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Valamen Atoru Aser. Shenemar Eretzayim Azer. Says Rabbi Yehuda, what do you mean? This should be Aser anyway. The Pasuk says, Ad Etze Mayom Azer, which means that until that very day, or the essence of that day, which we assume means, according to Rabbi Yehuda, until the end of the day, which means when we have a Karban Omer. So then, once the Karban Omer is brought, we can eat from the new grain. But if there's no Karban Omer, would we not have to wait till the end of that day? Ad Etze Mayom Azer. So that's Rabbi Yehuda's argument to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's takana. What kind of takana are you making? Oh, the whole day of the waving of the omer, the 6th of the Nisan, you can't eat from the new grain. You have to wait until the next day. Why do you have to? Of course I have to wait until the next day. If there's no omer, then I have to wait till, as the pasuk says, ad etzem ayam azeh. It also says, ad aviyachemes over haturufa. When I have an omer, so then it's when I bring the omer. But if I don't have an omer, I have to wait till etzem ayam azeh. So the Gemara explains Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's logic. He believes that when the pasuk says ad etzem ayam azeh, that's ad velo ad bechlav. That means when there's no Omer, you really should be able to eat from the new grain at sunrise, the beginning of the day. Etzem HaMazeh means the beginning of the day, the beginning of the 16th of Nisan. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai really held that midoraisa, when there's no Omer, you should be able to eat from the new grain right away. So what was this takana all about, where he said, well, the day of the waving of the Omer, you can't eat the entire day. So that was a gzera. The gzera was the following. If we allow the people to eat from the new grain at the beginning of the day, what's going to happen? Mehera Yibada Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash will hopefully be rebuilt very soon. And people will say, oh, I remember last year, and now there is an Omer. Now you have to wait till the Omer is brought. Omer may be brought 10 o'clock in the morning, 11 o'clock in the morning. We said by Chatzos they brought it. But you have to wait till the Omer. You can't start eating the new grain at sunrise. So what are people going to say? Ah, Eshtak had last year. I remember we ate from the new grain at the beginning of the day at sunrise. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is afraid of that mistake that people may make when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt and not wait till the Omer. So therefore he decided that the entire day will be prohibited to eat from the new grain. You have to wait till the end of the day, and this way we won't have this problem, this concern where the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, and you have to wait for the Omer to be brought. And then the Mishnah concludes, why do we say the people who are far away from the Beis HaMikdash, they didn't know when the Omer was brought? Why are they able to eat from the new grain at Chatzos, assuming that the Omer was brought? The answer is, they knew that that Beis Din would take charge to make sure that the whoever took care of the Omer would make sure to bring it before Chatzos, and therefore by Chatzos you knew the Omer had been brought. Times the Beis HaMikdash, you can eat the new grain by Chatzos.